in the name of Jesus. Can an amen on that? Yes. Is there power in the name of Jesus? Is there power in the spoken word? Woo. So we've been speaking the name of Jesus over our issues, speaking the word of God out. Wow. Hey, you've done everything He's called you to do. Amen. Repent, call upon the name of the Lord. The blood cleanses us. He gives us His blood. He gives us His name. So why are we down? No, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, what happens? Because we want to see things right now. Amen. And God said, whoa, hang on now. Hang on. I'm going to tell you something. I would imagine Noah would want to see that ark built. The next day God told him. When he gave him the blueprint, he's like, wow. Okay, where are them angels at? Remember, God, they're ministering angels. Where are they at? But God called him to do it. And it was in the process. It was in the process of the 120 years to build that ark. Man, Noah, a preacher, he was sharing the word of God out there. There was no one that perished that day could blame God. Amen? Because God had a righteous man, Noah and his family, building the ark, but also preaching. What are you doing, crazy man? You know, I mean, that's probably what they're saying, all kind of weird stuff about him. So wherever you're at today, as you speak the word of God and you're following Him, God's got the building plans. You don't see everything. And I don't imagine Moses and Noah knew everything he was going to do. But God gave them wisdom piece by piece. Okay, what, 9 stories high? How are we going to do that? Well, he didn't need to do that, know how to do that until he got the foundation. Tim, you do a lot of building. You ever build the third story first before you build the foundation? No, No. So what the Lord is doing, He's building foundations, a lot of things that we're doing. And we want to see things completed. And we might build the foundation, then someone else takes over and builds the first story, then the second story. Just know that we're doing what God's called us to do. And that's the most important thing that we're doing, what He called us to do. The way you're living your life, you're following Jesus. If you're here today and you're born again, wow, I'm telling you what, it's to follow Him, trust Him. Trust Him. And if you're here today and you're not quite sure about Jesus, yeah, it's awesome. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here because, you know, we all got to come to that point in our life to understand how much God cares for us. But that we're all was born in sin. Amen? We're all born with a sin nature. We've all sinned. And the Bible tells us that sin someday will take us to hell, and God doesn't want that. The wages of sin is death, separation from God from eternity. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Name is Jesus. He died on the cross to pay the penalties of our sins. And so sometimes you don't understand when folks come in, they're not born again, yet they think, oh, how come they sing so long? Well, we're not singing. We're worshiping. And I tell you what, we could worship another 10 hours today. I'm telling you what, the presence of God was so thick, you know. But give Him the honor. Awesome. And His presence comes and it just touches us. It's kind of like you go into a doctor's office, I think, and you're outside, you know the doctor's in there, and you know what's on your heart and stuff, but you got people sitting around and talking to you a little bit, so you kind of keep your mind off what you're going in there for. But the minute the door opens up and the physician says, come on in, wow, now it's one-on-one. And as you worship and praise Him, that's like talking to the doctor. And we share our worship with Him, and He shares with us. And that communication, I mean, that's just awesome. That's where we're built, where we're strengthened. Healing takes place. I mean, all kind of awesome things. So it's praising and worshiping Him. We do singing a lot of times on Fridays, first Fridays, but this is worship. And as you grow in Christ, you'll understand that more and more, because I used to be the same way. You know, go around, give me 2 songs and get me out in an hour. And you realize, wow. You know, like this afternoon, a lot of people are going to be yelling and screaming, probably watching football games and stuff, you know. Some is good, some is bad, you know, but we get excited. That's the same thing in our spirit when we worship the Lord, we get excited. It's just, wow. And but, you know, what God is speaking to this church and to each one of us is be on that foundation and trust Him. We are at that point where I got to turn some lights on. Can you throw them up for me? Watch your eyes, yes. But He's going to need his folks to step out. Don't leave. I meant step out in faith. Amen? I seen Tim grab his water. Man, we're going to go. We're going to beat the Methodists over the restaurant. Never mind. But in the Lord's Prayer, when he constructed it for us, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Okay? You're here today because God is using you to further the kingdom. That's your sole purpose in life right now, is furthering the kingdom of God. Now, we have other minor priorities that we go, right? Eat dinner, do this, visit. But your sole purpose as a born-again believer is to further the kingdom of God. Because as you've been watching, you've been following things and listening to your scriptures and stuff, you know the events that's coming our way. We know that the time is very, very near the coming of the Lord. And wow, there's no one that we want to see perish. There's no one. And so he's called upon us to preach his word, to live for him, to love him, and have a compassionate heart for other people. And that's what he wants. And things are being broad and wider for those in the faith of light and darkness, good and evil. Your eyes are being opened more and more. And what God is saying is, it's time that you have to stand on that foundation that I built in you. It's time to stand on that foundation, and every promise that you heard me give you, that you stand on that. And I need you to stand like never before. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you to be my witness in these days. It's not going to be easy at times. It's not going to be easy. Be prepared. I've told you that from the very beginning. I try to tell you that. He says, man, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They hate me, they're going to hate you. Man, they crucified me, they'll do the same to you. But we go back to the beginning, and where it says, you know, follow Jesus, we got to pick up our cross and follow him. Amen? And pick up the cross, and we got to die to self. We got to die to ourselves and put Jesus first. And it's an awesome thing. I mean the same strength that gave Jesus the ability to stand in front of people who were persecuting him and shouting insults and beating him, that same spirit that came upon him lives in us. And we just got to have a determination that we're going to do it. We're not going to back down. We're not going to yield. Out of love, we're going to stand the same as the Master did. He did it out of love for you and me and for those who are persecuting him. Wow. And we notice what took place so many times in the scriptures, that Jesus went out to a secret place and he prayed and he fasted in the presence of God. He knew that he needed to feed his spirit. He had to be strong to do what God called him to do. And that's where you and I are today. You are not insignificant. I'm telling you what, people's lives are depending upon you and I on how we live our life for the Lord. Amen? Isn't that awesome? I mean, realize a great responsibility that God trusts you with the unsaved. He trusts you with his spirit, his word, to share the gospel and to live for him. And I know as the days approach, it can get kind of weary, get kind of scary. But God says, I'm with you. Trust in me. Some of the things that we have today, we may not have in 6 months, okay? That's okay. Okay? I mean, nobody, I mean, when that trumpet sounds, no one's going to grab a duffel bag to take with them, right? Now, there's not going to be, I mean, when that trumpet sounds today, you know, you see Marty and Chuck with their wagon, bunch of beef cattle taking to heaven, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be time to go, right? I know, guys, I know, right now. I do believe cows are in heaven, so yes, but. So what he wants us to do, yes, he provides our needs. You know, we live in luxury today compared to 2/3 of the world, amen? I mean, if you get shoes on your feet, we're blessed more than some of the nations are, okay? So he doesn't deny that for us, okay? He's not saying, I'm going to take it away from you. He's going to say, don't let that guide how you live for me, okay? Don't let it, like us. He says, you know, you have it because everything on this earth belongs to me, God says. Everything belongs to me. You're just using it temporarily, okay? And the last thing we want to do is have the things of this earth take priority over our relationship with the Lord. You know, we got to watch that. Because it's easy to start compromising a little bit. And next thing you know, I'm sorry, a song came into my head. I lost that loving feeling. But it gets to the point, I'm sorry, yes. That's why I preach, I cannot sing, okay? But really, we get to that point where all of a sudden we think, man, I don't feel like I was for a while. I was on fire, man. I just couldn't wait. On Sunday, I'd be up in front of the church at 6 o'clock waiting for the doors to open up. And now I'm not. And we look at, well, we just let things intent on us. Amen? Things just come around and we start giving a little more priority to this or this. And we didn't mean anything by it, but we just got farther and farther away from the presence of God in our life. And the awesome thing, He didn't move from us. We kind of moved from Him. And He's right where He was when we kind of turned this way. And He said, come on, turn back. Wow. Wanting us. Because He knows in Jeremiah 29:11, the plans and the purpose He has for your life. If He already has a plan and purpose for your life, I guarantee you, He has everything that you need lined up to live that plan and purpose He's given you. The world can't give it to you. Now, God might use the world. He might use their hand to hand it to you. But the last thing He wants us to do is start worshiping the hand that gives it to you, and not the one who provided it. Amen? And we can get our priorities back and forth here, okay? But I tell you, the world is under the leadership of the devil. God tells you that, okay? He's the king of this world, okay? But God will use the people of this world to funnel into His people by His hand. Amen? Amen. I mean, people said before, what'd you do if a drug dealer walked into church today and gave you $1 million? Would you take it, a drug dealer? Well, I said, well, I'd take it. Thank you, Lord! Amen? Well, does he get that dirty money out of it? No. Show me clean money. God will take things. He says even the riches of the evil is built up for the righteous. Amen? As He advances our lives, is to advance the kingdom of God. I know when you talk about tithe and offering, people can get back and forth. And then as the ministries and different ministries grow and they give more, you can't outgive God. Is that correct? And I was so blessed to be listening to this morning. And there's a pastor down in southern part of the States, Jesse Duplantis, and they got hit by the hurricane. And I'm surprised at how many other churches was able to send stuff down to him. Plus, they were able to take $100,000 out of their account and buy generators for people to help them out. Can you imagine that? Wow. Now, some people might say, well, they didn't have $100,000 in that account. Well, God had it there preparing for the time. Okay? We all can do something, but as we give, God gives back to us. And don't ever be ashamed as He returns to you. And people say, well, you got two vehicles? Oh, you got a little bicycle. Well, give to God. He'll provide for you. Okay? Amen. So, what He's called you to do, He will provide for you. Don't start looking at other places. Don't start looking to the world. Don't start compromising your walk with Jesus in order to have your needs met. Okay? We got to trust in the Lord that His timing is perfect. And I shared this a couple of years ago, so y'all might have heard some of it on Friday night. Some of you might have heard it. But I think it really shows how God really works with folks. Because if we remember a couple in the Bible named Mary and Joseph, they're kind of popular. Okay? Amen. And the angel came to Mary and says, hey, when you have a child, be Jesus. I'm just paraphrasing, okay? And she agreed to it. And become pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph's getting ready to leave her because, hey, you know, she's unfaithful to me. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, listen, she's not unfaithful. Told him the story about being, you know, going to have a son and call him Jesus. And the time came for the census to take place for Joseph. Remember, they took off for Bethlehem, right? Yeah, everybody familiar with the story? I believe you are. Okay. So they get to Bethlehem and the baby is born. And the awesome thing about the child, because this child was born, and sometimes in our mind we see it born in this little manger in the barn, you know, and the gates swinging back and forth. You got cows and chickens around and watch him, you know. But in reality, he was born in the Tower of David. And it was a tower where the shepherds stayed upstairs and downstairs. They kept all the unblemished lambs when they were born. Because you had to sacrifice to God, it had to be a lamb without blemish. And when these little babies were born, baby lambs, they inspect them. And if this was one that, wow, it's an unblemished one, they would take them down into the Tower of David at the bottom of it and take and wrap these little baby lambs. Oh, cute little things, aren't they, Daryl? They would wrap him in swaddling clothes. The swaddling clothes was the old apparel that the priest would wear. And when they were done with it, they gathered him down there and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. So Jesus was born actually in the Tower of David. And when he was born, the Bible tells you he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, same way the unspotted lambs. He was a perfect sacrifice that God just brought into the world. Wow, then we remember this. We remember that the Bible says that shepherds came that night. Why? Because the shepherds were on the hill. They were up there above the Tower of David watching their flock. And man, the angels spoke to them, so they took off, went down into the Tower of David, which they would be used to it. They lived there and found Jesus and they worshiped him. Wow. I mean, just as you understand more and more of the scriptures, that's awesome. And that's why this Wednesday night, when we're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, that is the night that Jesus was born. I got two amens and people saying, well, how about Christmas? You study it out, folks. And I got upset myself when I found out that December 25th wasn't the day that Jesus was born. So all my life, man, okay. But you study it out, folks. December 25th was the day that Mary overshadowed, the angel of the Lord overshadowed Mary. She conceived. And Jesus at that moment became human form. In the Jewish culture, when you have a heartbeat, you're alive. So I thought, oh, thank you. And then you go forward 9 months and you find yourself in the middle of September. Right? And we know that Jesus died, was crucified in March, 33 and a half years old. So you back up 6 months from March and you find yourself in September. So it's awesome just to understand things, you know. And again, I'm not teaching about Christmas, but I'm trying to show you that the shepherds came and then they go from the Tower of David, they move into a house. Wow. And Joseph was a carpenter, so I can see him out there making little things, birdhouses, selling them, supporting his family and stuff, okay? And about a year and a half into it, the king is so upset because they heard there's a king that was born, and the people's coming to worship this king. And, of course, the king is King Jesus. So he's getting upset. Well, at the same time, oh my, here comes three guys. Well, here comes the wise men, we call them magi's, okay? We say three wise men, but there could have been a dozen or two of them. We say there's three wise men because any play that you have three wise men because you need one of them to carry frankincense, myrrh, and gold, right? And on most of our school plays, stages, there's enough for all of us to get up here, so yes. But there could have been a lot of magi that came. But they showed up. It took them about a year and a half to follow the star to get where Jesus is. I mean, Mary now has went from birthing Jesus in the Tower of David where the sheep were at, you know, which is still a very clean place, understand. They kept it spotless. But there's no place for you ladies to affirm this, to have your own place, right? Your own housekeeping. No one else is going to tell you how you're going to do your housekeeping, right? So you imagine here they are. They moved into their home now. I can see Mary dusting at nighttime, you know, and Joe's out there in the wood chop, and he's making birdhouses and selling them to buy milk for Jesus, you know, and just having an awesome life. Man, this is pretty cool, you know. Then all of a sudden, here comes three dudes showing up, and one of them's carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This stuff right alone shows majesty. It shows kingdomship. Royalty, thank you. I knew I'd get there sooner or later, or you'd tell me one or two. Which I'm glad she does. Here, we want to worship the king. Wow. I mean, for a second you think, hey, what would you do? What you do today, if someone showed up at your house and they had $1 million, say, man, we want to give this to you. Yeah, an honor because you follow Jesus. Oh, no, thank you, but, you know, God will provide for me. God, I don't need that $1 million that you brought here because I followed Jesus. But we say, now, we might say that, trying to humble ourselves before the Lord, amen? Well, wait a second, I'm following Jesus, and these people showed up. They won't give me money, they're asking for nothing. They just want to give me this $1 million, I follow him. Yeah, I'll take it. If anybody think about showing up today, I'll be home, okay? But yes, I don't understand, Lord, why I got this $1 million. Well, thank you. Well, here we go. We got these three guys with Mary Joseph, who Mary Joseph agreed to carry Jesus. Amen. They agreed to bring him to the world, agreed to raise him. Didn't quite understand everything, but they are providing for Jesus. And these guys show up and they got all this rich stuff. I mean, that's a lot of money, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, wow. Now, I'm not sure how soon they were there, how much more they were there before this decree went out. Because very shortly after they received this, he said, we'll take it. I can imagine the conversation. Joseph's talking to Mary. He said, man, look at this stuff. This is worth a lot of money. What are we going to do with it? And Mary said, well, I'm not sure. And of course, Joseph saying, man, I could buy myself a new donkey, you know. In fact, we might even get a camel. We can upgrade, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm tired of riding around this old donkey all the time. People look at me, you know. And Mary said, well, you think I'd be wise, Joseph? Well, we can get two of them. Maybe the thought went through their head, how are we going to spend this blessing that God just gave us? Oh, man, just because we carried Jesus. But then I figured, let's hang on a second. We got a place to live. I do have a donkey. We are providing for ourselves. God sent this to us for a reason. I'm just going to hang on to it for a second. Isn't that the hardest thing to do? I mean, you ever get money that burns holes in your pocket? I mean, you can't hardly get down the street with it. Oh, I got to find something, you know. Well, as we walk with the Lord for a while, we discipline ourselves. We realize that He's always on time. Amen. He's never early. He's never late. And the next thing you know, Joseph goes to sleep at night. Probably dreaming about that double hump camel he was thinking about. And who appeared in his dream but the angel of the Lord? To listen, you got to rise up and get up and get your family and get out of here. Get to Egypt. Go. Go now. Wow. Hey, Mary, I had this dream. We got to get going. We got to get going. So they jump and they take off for Egypt. And this decree comes out. The king says, kill all children 2 years and under. Slay them. And they cry throughout the city. A baby has been ripped from mama's, being put to death. And I know, don't lose you that. I know it saddens our heart. But God wants you to rejoice. Looky. The gospel had to be protected. Jesus came into this world to die on the cross, to pay the penalty of our sins. Amen? It had to be done, okay? Them little ones, listen, those little ones that were killed as Jesus went to Egypt, listen, they went right from the earth to the presence of the living God. They protected the gospel. They kept Jesus alive in order for him to die on the cross to rescue you and me from our sins. Think of that. It had to be protected. And Mary and Joseph said, yes, we're going to carry Jesus into the world. And the finances that God gave them in advance. God in Egypt, he's able to go there. He had money to live on. Had money to live on. Until it was time for him to come back. And I truly believe those mamas and them babies reunited in heaven when mama stepped in there. And they understood then fully what God was planning, what God was doing. And today we're sitting here and some of us aren't quite sure what God allowed this to happen or that to take place. But I'm telling you, as you follow the Lord, trust in Him, you'll see the big picture when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we'll see the biggest picture and understand things. Just be faithful to Him. But look what He's showing you today. He's saying, I'm going to provide for you, but I need you to carry the gospel. I need you to protect it. I need you to keep from a watered down gospel out there. I need you from not keeping your mouth shut, but share out of love and live out of love of what Christ did for us on the cross. I'll provide for you, but it might get hairy for you. Christian? Follower of Jesus? Next thing you know, your bank account might be sabotaged. I mean, we're all marked. I mean, praise God, and spiritually we're marked. We're marked in the heavenlies. They can't touch us unless we give them permission, okay? But on earth, they're going to do everything trying to Satan did everything trying to shake your tree to get you to surrender Jesus. So if we have a love for money, he's going to come after your love for money. You have a love for recreation, he might come after that. It's hard to say what he might come after and attack, but we need to know right now. God needs to know right now and let you know that he will provide for your needs. Don't waver. Don't give in. I mean, when I can imagine when Joseph and Mary, we got to go today. Boom. We got to go. Mary said, wait a second. I just got a new dishwasher installed. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Joseph said, I know. I get the big screen TV. But the angel of the Lord said, we need to go. What? Are you sure? I mean, did you eat turnips last night? You sure it wasn't something you ate, just gave you a bad dream? But see, they all had encounters prior to this with God's angels that ministered to them. So they would know that, they know that, yes, we need to go. I don't know why. I don't know why we got to leave our home behind. But he says we need to get to Egypt. And I'm telling you what, did you and I agree to carry Jesus? Did we agree to bring Jesus into the world? Mary says, yes, we did. Then we just need to go and trust in the Lord. And look, Mary, he's already provided the finances that we need. Remember I was joking about that two-hump camel? I got it now. I can take you all on one animal. Let's go. And they got out. And look, because of that, you and I are sitting here 2,000 years later celebrating Jesus, celebrating his sacrifice, declaring him as Savior and Lord. And look at the times that we're living in. Praise God that there's nothing that he can access of or nothing that anyone can threaten us with should waver us from Jesus. Amen? And that's what he wants us to be prepared for, man. Because they will try to do things. When I say they, I'm talking about the devil. He used people. People will yield themselves to him. But try to shake our tree. But know that God won't forsake us. He won't leave us. But our job, our calling in our life is to further the kingdom of God. Again, what's my favorite saying? This place is not our home, is it? It can't let it have a hold of us enough that we're going to compromise our own life for the things of this world. And the way to do that is staying in His Word. Amen? Staying in His Word, living the Word, and not compromising, loving one another, and sharing that. And we see, man, as Mary went on to Egypt, later on they got to come back. Amen? They came back home. God restores. But it's not a lightly thing that we do as a follower of Jesus. It's a very, very serious thing. It's an awesome thing. But it's a very, very serious thing that knowing that every word that you speak, every thought that we have, every action we do, is influenced in somebody's life. Amen? That's awesome. So that is encouraging because at times we think, well, I'm not sure if I'm doing enough for the Lord. Well, you're doing what He's called you to do. Live for Him. And how your actions represents Him. And so that also helps us to discipline our vocabulary on what we say. You know, I've noticed myself, staying in fellowship is very important, folks. Staying in fellowship of other believers is so important. Because I've noticed folks who've been falling away, and I start seeing their thought process, and I start seeing their vocabulary that they speak or even put out there for other people to see. I think, oh man, it saddens my heart because when they were involved in fellowshipping and God was prioritized, that they didn't have slowly the world is sneaking back in, and they're prioritizing the things of the world or not the gospel. And so, that can happen to any of us. Amen. We all get lax, but we just need to come back full force and jump in and stay in that word and listen to Him. You know, Philippians 4:19, Brother Paul reminds us that God supply all our needs to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And how did he say that? Because they were supporting God's ministry. They was giving everything they had to further the kingdom of God. And so same with us. We give all you have. Now I'm not saying empty your bank account. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying as you give everything to God, whatever, it's all yours. And He'll meet your needs. He will meet our needs because everything that we have belongs to Him. Amen. And that's why we say we thank Him every morning. Lord, thank you for the shoes I put on. Thank you for the car I got to drive into the church today, you know, or ministry or the doctor's office. Because everything belongs to you and you allow me to handle it and have it. At the same time, I'll share this. I was going to copy it off of Facebook, but maybe some of you guys might have read it. But it really touched my heart when there was talking about 9/11 back in 2001. Maybe some of y'all saw this. But it had a list of people and their names that morning, if this guy was getting ready to go to work in the towers, that he forgot his watch at home and he turned around to get his watch. Another one had a flat tire. Another one forgot this. Another one got held up by this. I mean, it go on and on and on. How many things took place? And if it hadn't, they would have been in the towers and would have died. And so this shows me that wherever we're doing, no matter what happens to us, we can always, there's something to be joyful. And just give God the glory for it, okay? I'm not saying that the Lord calls this to take place, but I do tell you, I do know this, is that God has His ministry angels around us to watch over us. And if you have a flat tire, you don't know, but that might have kept you from. We all testified before, many of you have, that we got delayed and He's on time, you've been right there. And so, not allowing the circumstances of our life to dictate our joy and our peace. Well, Lord, we got a flat tire this morning. Thank you for AAA. You know, and call up the person, you know, you're running late. You know, if Rick's taking me out to dinner and he gets up and he's running late, don't speed, Rick. No, just call ahead of time. Hey, I'll be a little bit late, you know. That's okay. That's all right. I wasn't sure whether to start jumping up or not. So.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's my 10-minute warning. Yes, yes. Okay. Yes, yeah, see, all things work for good those who love the Lord. Mm-mm. Don't be embarrassed. Mm. In Matthew, I think it's 6:8, he talks about God already knows what we need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. We have nothing to worry about. And He already knows it. And just to learn, to look at how He comes through for other folks. And many of you guys have testified over the years how, man, God showed up. He did exactly what He's going to do. And a lot of times, it was the last minute, right? It was the last minute, and there He was. But He showed up. Trust Him. And do what He's called you to do. And then let it go at that. And I shared Friday night, I'm going to share again today, because I think it makes a lot of sense. My son shared this with me a couple years ago. It's about fishing. It made a lot of sense. God gave him a word for me. And I don't mean to embarrass him, I'm going to share it. I've got it printed out, and I read it quite often. But serving the Lord should be uplifting. Should be, you know, we should be joyful about it, you know? And what God gave my son to give to me, he says, now, Dad, you like going fishing. I like to take my bobber, throw it out in the lake, and sit there. He said, now, what do you think if you had to do this? You put the bait on the hook, and you threw it out there, and you're sitting there. Next thing you got to do, you jump into the water. You swim through the water, underwater, and you find that fish. Then you swim back over to your hook. You take the hook and you put it on the fish and you hook it on good. Then you get back out of the water, you run back over to the pool, grab the pole, and you whale it in. How much fun would that be? He says, what's that? Be an adventurer to have my bath for the month, okay? But he's saying that, you know, I would lose my joy because I was trying to do everything. And what God has called us to do is share the gospel. And let Him take it from there. You know, as I bring the word forward, I've done what He's called me to do. You hear it, the Holy Spirit will do with it, with you as He seems. And then you'll leave here, and you'll take it, and you'll use it as God chose you, and it just goes on down there. You know, it's not me following everybody around, hey, remember this, remember this? No. Let the joy come back into our life by serving Him. And one of the things He showed that really stuck out to me, I think it's in here. Again, preparing His church and take away fear, because fear has been so great here lately. In the book of Mark, we shared here recently, something jumped out the other night when the other me and Lynn was talking. In Mark 16:15. Now he's talking to us. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his followers. And Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed them. And we shared that many, many times. What really jumped out on Friday was, "You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Okay? So he's saying, if you're going to lay hands on the sick, then you got to be around some sick people. Amen? And what he's saying to his church, stand up and be bold. I got you covered, okay? I can't have my church hiding anymore. I can't have my church behind the closet anymore. I've come to give you strength. I come to give you power. He said, I want you to trust in me. Trust in me. Because the day's ahead of us. He's depending on us and his glory working through us. Amen? Please listen. Listen to what he's saying, okay? He says, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Saying, you shall be around sick people. We can't do that hiding somewhere. Now, we all got fibroglass when the thing started, okay? Now we know what's going on to a degree. This thing is real. We're saying, I got your back. I got you covered, okay? Have your faith grow in me and trust in me. Let me work through you. You know, let the people see my glory. He said he was confirming his word with the signs and wonders. And people, they need to know the difference between true fellowship of God and fake fellowship. And what we need to do is grow our faith, folks. Our faith has to be stronger and stronger. We got to realize what God has done in the past, he's still doing today. Amen? Think of this. I mean, in the scripture, I remember Jesus. He's walking down the street, and he come across 10 lepers. And from a distance, the lepers over here and Jesus over there, they're, "Master, Master, Jesus, we heal us." And Jesus is across the street. He says, "Go to the priest and show yourself." Otherwise, when you had leprosy, the only way that you could be confirmed back into fellowship again was having the priest look at you, confirm that you leprosy was removed, and you pay the price. Amen? They did. And as it was gone, they were healed. As they were following the word of God, they were healed. Of course, he said one of them came back and said, "Man, thank you so much." And Jesus said, "Wasn't there 10 of you guys? But you a Samaritan?" Not the Jews, but Samaritan. The Samaritan came back. And Samaritan and Jews had nothing to do with each other. And wow, you'd be complete, you'd be whole. And what's the difference between being healed and made whole? Being healed, the leprosy gone. Behold, your body's restored. Amen? So, we saw that distance they kept because they had to walk down the streets and unclean. Unclean, stay back, because leprosy was very, very contagious. Now, another time he encountered a leper ran up to him. Saying, "If it is your will, if you can, will you heal me?" Now, the leper came right up. Now, according to those days, the lepers, you had social distancing. You hear me, church? Unclean, stay back, stay back. Stay back. Stay back. As this leper ran up to Jesus, he said, wait. Social distancing. Well, aren't you the Son of God? Aren't you? Aren't you the anointed one, Lord? And what did Jesus do? He didn't run away. He laid hands on the leper. He laid hands on the one that that sickness, that disease, he had power and authority over it. And instantly he was healed. He didn't run away. So I ask the church today, who lives in you? Who lives in you? Is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit living in you? The same Spirit that baptized Jesus? The same Spirit that raised him up from the grave? Amen? Well, listen, church. Follow the Master. Follow the Master. Trust him and let your faith grow. to do as He told us to do. Don't fear. Do not have fear. This is the greatest hour of the church of Pentecost. God is preparing you to stand on solid ground. And don't run away and watch what takes place. Watch what takes place. Oh, people are going to fall in love with God. Because they're going to see one true God, one true believers in you as you follow Him. And they're going to be drawn to you. I want what you have. What I had was sold. Ain't doing it no more. I can't take it no more. I'm sick and tired of it. Please share what you got. But wait a second. I got to tell you. I got COVID. Stay back. That's okay, brother. Come here. Because you know what? I don't know how many days you got left on this earth, and how many I have left on this earth, okay? But have you been called to serve the Mighty One? Has He called you and said, I got your back, I won't forsake you, I won't leave you? Has He called you and said, listen, come on, man. Even if you pick up a snake, it ain't going to hurt you. You're doing something poisonous. Did He say that? Did He say you're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover? Is He a liar? No. Do we believe it? Yes, but we need that faith, amen? We need that faith, and it comes by hearing the Word of God and trusting Him and getting rid of this ugly stuff that's coming in here, all this doubt and stuff. Stand on His Word, and it's going to cost you something. But man, what the Master is planning for His glory, working through you, don't be, it's going to work. It's going to work out. Have faith. But I'm not sure. That's okay. Keep coming hearing the Word of God. Okay, God, everything. I want to be what You want me to be. Show me what to do, Lord. Show me what to do. When they speak and they tell you can't do something that's contrary to the Word of God, I'm standing on the Word of God. Wisdom always comes with using the Word of God. I'll share this and I might be done. I'm not sure. But I shared this the other night. And if in the hospital, we had a wing up there. And there were 18 beds up there, and all 18 of them had COVID patients. And don't answer. I'm setting you guys up, okay? But think of this. Just think in your head. Would you walk up to that wing and walk down to the wing? And I would say, no, unless God has called you. Amen? Can we make sure we don't have arrogancy get into our spirit? You know? 18 of them? Watch this. I'll show you what my God does. Is that going to bring God glory? No. But again, if He lays upon your heart, hey, I need you to go pray for this one. Trust, He'll lead you. You're His hands and feet. Amen? He knows when people are ready to come to Him. Understand that? He says, I'll back up my preaching. I'll back up your preaching by signs and wonders, by miracles, okay? But He knows the ones that are ready. Amen? He said, don't throw your pearl into hogs, okay? But that's because of that Holy Spirit that lives in you. The Master, we saw Him many times. He went over here and healed this person. This dude said the same. He followed what God showed him to do. Why? Why? I can't tell you. He sees the ultimate. Maybe they healed this one here. That dude's responsibility then to talk to this one. Remember the fellow in the rocks? Say it for me, Mother. Thank you. They got it rings. Cast out 2,000 demons. He said, listen, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Wow. And Jesus said, no. Your testimony is going back down there. Go back to the town that had you gagged, that had you bound. Let them see what Christ has done. And he went back. He would testify. I just trust God. I don't see the whole picture. I don't have to see the whole picture. I do my part. That's what we're going to do here. But deliverance. And it all starts with ourselves. Amen. Trusting the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, being delivered from our depressions and our oppression and the lies that the devil keeps putting in there. Woo-wee. You know, we can't stop them putting in there, but I tell you what, we can grab a hold of them and cast them down mighty, mighty, mighty quick. How do we do that? By listening to the Word of God. What did He say? That you are. You're my child. You're co-heir to the throne of Jesus. I am with you always. Greater He that's in you than He that's in the world. I love you. You are worth something. Oh my. And it's cast down there. Oh, but remember what you did? Didn't tell me what you did 30 years ago. Just kidding you. Make no difference what you did 30 years ago, right, brother? It's today. It's today. Same with every one of us. It don't care what we did 30 years ago. God has forgiven us, okay? That lie comes from the devil. That remembrance comes from the devil. You cast it down, so I have a new creation. All things are made new in me. And you go forward. And you go forward. But again, the word is prioritize. Prioritize our relationship with Jesus. Give Him first. Everything else will fall in place. Amen? Amen. God is awesome. Any questions? Comments? Okay. Amen. You just be prepared. And you are. Just stand on the word. And watch God give the glory. Everything we do is to bring God glory. Amen? Amen. Praise God.